NPR.
So if you think about two huge news items over the last year, okay. Europe's economic standoff against Russia and this year's debt ceiling fiasco, they share something in common.
Well, yeah, plenty of things like huge egos, brinkmanship, serious collateral damage.
Yes, but that's not quite where I was going. In both of these dramas, there was a surprising role played by American natural gas.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like U.S. natural gas stepping in after Russia shut down its pipes to Europe, right?
Yes, and the end of the debt ceiling fiasco seemed to involve greenlighting a contentious natural gas pipeline.
Of course, in order to secure Democratic Senator Joe Manchin's support. Yeah, so I see what you're getting at here. It seems like natural gas is kind of like this obscure actor who's suddenly getting all the Hollywood leading roles.
And you'd be excused for thinking we're talking a lot more about natural gas than we were, I don't know, a decade ago. And that's because back then, the U.S. essentially didn't export liquefied natural gas, or LNG. Now it's the world leader. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Darian Woods.
And I'm Paddy Hirsch. Today on the show, we learn about the American natural gas industry through the rise and fall of the guy who triggered an exporting revolution. It's a journey stacked with rivalries and ambition, with world-changing consequences.
This message comes from NPR sponsor E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. Take control of your financial future with E-Trade. No matter what kind of investor you are, their tools and resources can help you be ready for what's next. Now, when you open an account, you can get up to $1,000 with a qualifying deposit. Terms apply. Learn more at etrade.com/NPR. Investing involves risks. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC. E-Trade is a business of Morgan Stanley.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Elastic. Over 50% of Fortune 500 companies use Elastic to help them make insightful and impactful decisions at speed with Search AI, taking your data into the future. Learn how at searchpowered.elastic.co. This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
Natural gas is made from a mix of molecules, mostly methane. It's the fuel for the blue flames in your gas stovetop oven. It's also used to generate 2/5 of the electricity in the US.
And if we go back to the early 1990s, natural gas was more of a bit player back then. There were fewer natural gas power plants, and the US didn't export liquefied natural gas. That's not quite true. There was a small little plant in Alaska, but they didn't export it at any great scale. It imported a lot instead.
So at the time, a finance guy named Charif Suki saw opportunities in the growing market for natural gas. Along with trends like more coal power plants getting replaced by natural gas, he saw that the gas exploration technology was quickly improving. So Charif decided to get into the business, helping producers find more of the stuff in the US. And he quickly raised the capital.
I've never found that a good idea has a difficult time raising money. If you have a difficult time raising money, maybe your idea is not so good.
That seems pretty crucial to me, yes.
Brutal, but maybe true, yes.
Charif set up his own gas exploration company, Cheniere Energy, but it faced a big barrier.
We couldn't find enough gas in the United States, so I wanted to import gas.
So Charif started building docks in Louisiana, and he installed huge storage tanks to receive LNG. Now, natural gas is liquefied for shipping because you can store 600 times more of it in a given tank that way. Some by cooling the gas to a very, very low temperature, minus 260 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh, cool.
So that means on Charif's end, the receiving end, you do the reverse. It means he needed to build facilities to convert the liquefied natural gas from overseas into its normal gas form.
If you bring a very cold liquid, you have to warm it up. So you put it basically in warm water. It's not a very complicated process.
Yeah, just give it a warm bath.
But pretty soon, Charif's plans were totally derailed. There was a transformation in the economics of natural gas, and it was due to two things: storms and fracking. Hurricanes like Hurricane Katrina spiked the price of gas super high, and that gave companies more incentive to perfect techniques to drill into shale rock underground, push through the pressurized liquid down there and suck out all the natural gas. The technology behind hydraulic fracking reached this critical level where it was becoming more and more commercially viable.
All of a sudden, we had the shale revolution in 2006, 7, and 8. And that changed things kind of dramatically.
And in 2009, Tarif gets a call. It's another natural gas titan, a guy by the name of Aubrey McClendon.
Called me and said, Tarif, can you go in the other direction? We know you're building this plant to receive natural gas in the United States. Can you now export it? So we went from thinking that we were going to be import dependent to all of a sudden, maybe it would make sense to export it.
Now, this was arguably a hunch at the time. It wasn't yet proven that these natural gas reserves would keep growing and growing. But Tarif decided to take the advice and abruptly shift course. And instead of being an importer of natural gas, Tarif's company would now export it. So that meant all those warm bars now needed to be replaced by refrigerators.
Where's a super cooled freezer when you need one?
We had already built the infrastructure to import. So we had the marine facilities and we had the tanks. But when I needed to build the refrigerator, and compared to the warm water, it's a 10x budget.
And even Tarif, whose superpower is raising cash, find this kind of daunting.
It's not that hard to raise $1 billion. It's much harder to raise $15 billion. Mm-hmm. You have to convince more people.
It's a lot of whining and dining and phone calls and faxes and emails.
Yeah, thank God, not whining and dining, because I tried to stay in reasonably good health and that wouldn't have happened to whine and dine people.
Eventually, Tarif secured the money and started building export facilities. More and more gas reserves in the US were found in the meantime. Tarif's company secured contracts for overseas buyers. You know, this guy seemed unstoppable. By 2013, he was the highest paid CEO in the US. And this is before the first shipment of natural gas had even left the port.
But then Tarif ran into something that changed everything, or someone. One of Cheniere Energy's investors, Carl Icahn, who took issue with this plan. Now, Icahn is basically a financial deity. He's this celebrity-level investor who's kind of used to getting his own way.
Tarif says that his ambitions for investing in all kinds of new plans was being stymied. His version of events is that Carl Icahn had him fired for this.
So he did not like to be contradicted, so he eventually had me fired.
Carl Icahn's version of events is that Tarif was overpaid and he had been threatening the board of resignation unless he got paid more. In any case, Tarif was out by late 2015. He had gone from being a hydrocarbon prince to essentially unemployed overnight. Now, financially, Tarif was okay. Of course, he'd been paid out with a lot of money and equity in the company. But to be kicked out of the company he'd put his life into, I mean, this was a body blow.
Yeah, and a few months later, he went to a conference for the natural gas industry. And at one presentation, one of the executives who'd replaced him at his company got on stage and spoke in front of a video. It showed a ship leaving a Louisiana terminal on its way to Brazil. The ship was the scale of a cruise ship, but storing huge amounts of liquefied natural gas. It was Tarif's old company's first LNG shipment abroad.
How did it feel?
Strange. Because I was no longer there. So I'd worked very hard for a very long time to make that happen. And then I wasn't invited to the inauguration.
And this was a huge first for America, right? This was the moment the US went from importing LNG to becoming a major LNG exporter. And volumes since then have just grown and grown until last year, when the US started beating Australia and Qatar to be the biggest LNG exporter in the world. Now, the numbers bounce around month to month, but based on projections, the US position is only growing.
All of this is vindication for Tarif, who has stayed in the natural gas industry with a new company. Now, of course, natural gas is a fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm. Let's not forget.
Yes. It puts out about half the emissions of burning coal. So burning more natural gas means more climate change. And we put this to Tarif. Does he worry that sucking out more natural gas from the ground slams against the goals of decarbonization?
It's nice talk. Politically, it sounds well. But if you want to decarbonize, there is a very, very simple way to make sure that you can decarbonize. Is you put the price on carbon. And the government, no government, is willing to do that.
Tarif's view seems to be, don't ask him to be the hero. He says if the public and politicians are really serious about curbing the harms from climate emissions, like those from natural gas, they'll tax it.
And given the lack of serious action on climate change, investors are still willing to pour money into natural gas investments like export terminals or the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Just last week, a Chinese utility company signed a 20-year contract with Cheniere Energy to supply them with natural gas until at least the mid-2040s. This episode was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Catherine Silver. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez and edited by Patty Hirsch. Viet Le is our senior producer and Kagan Cannon is our editor. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.